when you hear somebody's testimony, they started going to church, you know, they met God there, Jesus and all that, they accepted the Lord into their life, but there's a lot more to a man's testimony than just that thing of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You just need to know what the person's been through and what kind of life that they led to really know what that testimony and that conversion and acceptance of Jesus as their Lord and the Savior of their life, to really grasp a hold of what that really truly stands for. So let me introduce myself to you. I'm Tim Barker. I've known many of you for many years. Some of you I don't know at all. You all know me a little bit better today. And what kind of a man I was as I grew up. A sinner saved by grace is what I was. A sinner for so many years that God's grace is so wonderful that, you know, He allowed me to enter into that family of God, because I certainly didn't deserve it. And nothing in my life reflected any godliness at all. So let me take you through a little history of what I was and who I was and what I became after I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Born in Lancaster, California, 1951. And had a wonderful mother and father. But there was no, I can't even remember seeing a Bible in our home. And though we did go to church, we went to a Presbyterian church in Lancaster, and I sang in the choir and all that, but I didn't know who Jesus was, and I hated going to church. I used to lay in bed Sunday morning, just like, oh, my folks don't wake up this morning early and want to go to church, because I didn't want to go. It was boring to me. I liked the singing part of it because we got to put on the robes and stand in front of the church and all that and sing. And I liked that part of it. But Sunday school was, I hated it. That's the only word I can come up with, is the fact that I just hated going to church. So anyway, in 1962, we moved from Lancaster up to Northern California to a little town named Cottonwood, which is in Shasta County, on the border of Shasta County and Tehama County. I thought we had moved to the sticks compared to Lancaster, which is, you know, close to L.A. and all that. But I thought we moved into the Stone Age country. But I began to really like it there because we lived way outside of town, and my next door neighbors were just a bunch of boys, and they taught me how to do things, you know, like shoot guns and trap and go down the Cottonwood Creek and fish and do all those kind of things. So anyway, I began to like it up there in Shasta County. Started high school and graduated in 1969. Loved high school. Really got into music in high school. I was in the fourth grade, started playing drums, and really kind of found myself in music in high school. Was in the concert band for 4 years, stage band, and got pretty good at it. And it was kind of nice. The first class of school was concert band, and then after lunch we had stage band, and so, you know. And I always got A's in that class, so that helped my grade point average and all that. Started a band with some friends in high school. And that introduced me to some stuff, like marijuana, you know. And kind of liked that stuff. And in fact, I liked it a lot. the summer of 69, when I graduated, I was also introduced to a few drugs. Acid, mescaline, things like that. But I didn't like that as much, so that was just my summer of psychedelics, and that was it. I put it behind me, but I didn't put down the pot. I enjoyed that and smoked it for years. Anyway, went into the service and spent 4 years in the Navy and continued on with my ways, but I added drinking to my pot smoking. But did all right in the Navy, too. I promoted, and I managed to live my own life. It was a time when Admiral Zumwalt was in charge of the Navy, and you could have a full beard if you wanted. And you didn't have to wear a uniform going back and forth from the ship. So I looked like one of the guys from ZZ Top. I really enjoyed it, but you know, I didn't want to stay because I was afraid one of these days I'm going to get caught. So got out of the service. A few years after that, I met my wife to be, and I was smoking cigarettes too. You know, so I was drinking, smoking pot, smoking cigarettes. I wasn't doing myself any good. I was wasting a lot of my life, wasting a lot of time. For nothing. So anyway, as I grew, a very close friend of mine that I did a lot of pot smoking with and drinking with and partying started going to church. And I went over to his house one day and, you know, we usually sit down, smoke a joint, sit out by the pool, had a few beers and stuff like that. I go over there, and he's sitting on the couch, and he's got his Bible, you know. And I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm reading my Bible." And I says, "When did you start doing that? I didn't even know you had one." He says, "Yeah, I started going to church." And I says, "Man, it's only been a couple of weeks, man, and you're already taking this change in your life?" And he says, "Yeah, you know, I keep seeing these bumper stickers, you know, 'Jesus is Lord.' I wanted to know what that was all about, and somebody told me about this church in Reading, a little country church, so I started going to it, and it's cool." I says, "Well, okay, it's cool, but why are you going?" You know, he says, "Well," and he started explaining to me some things, you know, and I says, "Well," he says, "why don't you check it out?" I says, "Okay, I'll check it out." So I started going to this church in Reading that was meeting in a gymnasium, and it spoke to me. I was convicted. I was ashamed of my life. It's just like, wow, you know, never heard of this Jesus before that they were talking about, the one that would come alongside of you, cleanse you of your sins, forgive you, build you up. Man, this is I've heard of Jesus, but you know, I didn't know this Jesus would do this for me, you know, would give his life for me and pay the price for me to save my life. So I started going, but I didn't give over to it right away. I just kept going and it kept speaking to my heart. One day I got home from church and I was living back in Cottonwood after. And my folks lived in Reading. My folks were over there when I got home. They were working in my yard. My parents loved to work in a yard, you know, in the garden. They'd go over and pull weeds and stuff like that. When they got done with their yard, they'd come down to my house, start pulling weeds. That's what they like to do. And they said, "Where you been?" He says, "I've been in church." And he says, "Church?" I says, "Yeah, why don't you guys go with me? Why don't you join me in church? This is church. It's up there where you live." And of course, yeah. They said, "Yeah, we'll go there." And so my parents started going to church, and my brother Dick used to start going there. One Sunday morning, you know, I couldn't stand it anymore. I just had to surrender my life. I just couldn't live the life I was living anymore. A life of lies, you know. Every sin that you could imagine, I have committed. And I just wanted to be set free. And I wanted this Jesus. So, Bert Smith was the pastor of this church, and it's a Calvary Chapel, offspring from, Chuck Smith. And every Sunday, you know, they spoke to me. The worship was just, you know, unbelievable. My parents were sitting there, my brother, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And when, at the end of the service, when Bert, gave an invitation to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, I was like this. Yes, me. And I've always been a peeker, you know, when they say, everybody bow your heads and pray, you know, when he gave the invitation. You know, I was going like this, you know, seeing who's getting saved that day, you know, and there's people over here and over there. So I called myself a peeker. Anyway, I look over, and my mom and dad are like this too, and my brother is like this, you know. They're giving their life to the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Anyway, but that's not the end of the story. You know, I gave my life to the Lord, but I didn't give up all the garbage. I still carried baggage around in my life. About a year after that, and that was 27 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus, I met my wife, and we dated for 2 years, and we got married. And my son, David, right over here, was my firstborn child, and I had two stepchildren. So we're married for a year, and I've already got three kids. Yeah. And then after David was born, Linda got pregnant again. And now, all of a sudden, here I am. I've never been married before in my life. I'm in my 30s, and I got four kids already. Two of them stepchildren, two of my own. And it was overwhelming. It's hard to, if any of you have been a step parent, you know, come talk to me, because I've been through the mill. It's tough raising stepchildren, and I wasn't very good at it. You know, I showed more love to my two children that Linda and I had than I did to my stepchildren. I took care of them. You know, I prayed with them and stuff like that, but I just didn't show them the same type of love. They've forgiven me for that since then. They've grown up, and we have a great relationship with Malia and Jeff, and I've asked their forgiveness. I wish I had done better. Doing the best I can now. You know, call them up, talk to them, you know. But those things were healed by Jesus. Those issues were healed by Jesus over the years. But it was a lot of tough years there. Anyway, worked in the grocery business down there and in Redding after we got married. Then the Lord moved us up to Beaver, California, of all places. And the first day I took my wife up there to see the store that I was going to manage for this company, it was probably the dreariest day in December, and there's not a whole lot of trees in Beaver. And my wife says, oh my gosh, you're going to move us to Beaver? Yeah, it's a job, you know, tough times in those days. Well, the Lord gave her a word, get thee to the high country. And so she was willing to go. And 2 years managing this grocery store in this little town, got to know a lot of great people, started going to this church over there, a Pentecostal church. In Beaver, Don Pritchard, pastor, that was quite the experience, exposed to a whole new Jesus, you know, a Jesus that was a little, the people were freer than in most churches that I was used to. Not only did they raise hands in worship and prayer, but they danced, and they spoke in tongues, and they would dance on stage, and just, you know, but they were full of joy. And I learned to say, you know what, that's cool. I like that, you know. Shout for joy. David danced before the Lord. And he shouted for joy before the Lord. And his life was full of turmoil like my life. But you know what? God reached down and picked him up, brushed him off, and you know what? And he always loved his God. Anyway, they sold the store that I worked at, and here I am stuck in Beaver. So immediately I put my application in with the Department of Corrections, and 9 months later I got hired. But before I got hired, the store sold, and I didn't have a job. So I went to work for Big Valley Lumber, making minimum wage with 4 kids to raise in Beaver. This church came to our rescue and literally filled our house up with food and money and just blessed the socks off of us. That's how God works, through people. Anyway, I found myself digging ditches at Big Valley Lumber. From going from a store manager to that is humbling. But I was willing to do whatever I had to do to take care of my family. And we prayed about it, and what are we going to do? And I get a call from this general manager for Rainbow Bread. And he says, I hear you're looking for a job. I said, yes, I am. That says, I got a bread truck. I'll sell it to you for $500. I'll buy it. And I can make payments, too. So that made it even easier. So I ran a bread route for 9 months up in Beaver and was able to take care of my family. God just meets your needs. You know, just be willing to open yourself up to that. Anyway, I got the go-ahead to go to the academy, went to the academy. Still had issues in my life, smoking, for one. I still smoked cigarettes, and my wife did not like that. And she would, like, I've been smoking. I said, oh, no, honey, I gave that up. You know that. I was lying. I would lie to my wife because I was ashamed of smoking cigarettes. You know, just unbelievable what you'll do and what you won't give up and how you can hurt your loved ones because of something like that. So, thank God I don't smoke anymore. I went to work for the Department of Corrections, put in 20 years, retired last July, still continued to smoke for many years, and continued to lie to my wife about it. And she'd always say, yeah, you're lying to me. I said, yeah, you're right. I made my job my God because of so many things, the smoking, the lying, the responsibilities of being a stepfather and a father and all that. So I made my job my God. And my wife knew that. And I'm just grateful that she stayed with me for so many years because through all that. I was blessed in my job. You know, I don't know why or how. I've always had good favor out there. I got wonderful jobs out there. I was the Captain Steubing of the institution for almost 3 years as a family visiting officer. And loved by every inmate there that had a family. And because I could get them a family visit. From there I went to investigations. Imagine that, a former pothead and a guy that did drugs. Now I'm investigating guys that did the same thing I did for the grace of God. I'd be in the same spot they are if I'd gotten caught. That job was my God. Went to camp after the investigation, spent 8 years in camp. That job was my God. My wife finally said, enough is enough. You know what? I'm ready to pack my bags and leave. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. If you're not going to be the husband and the spiritual head of this home that you need to be. She was right. I wasn't the spiritual head of my home. I had other gods. And You know, in the last 3 years, God has been doing a work in me. 3 years ago, this coming May, a doctor sat down with me and said, "You're going to die in 3 to 5 years. You got cancer. You have prostate cancer. We can't operate. We can radiate it," which they did. I went through 4 treatments of brachytherapy and then 25 treatments of high-dose radiation and along with hormone therapy. And it came back. The thing is, if Jesus takes me, if I go home right now, I know my wife will be taken care of, and I have no fear of that. But I will probably die someday, if I'm not raptured up out of here with the rest of you, with prostate cancer. I probably won't die of prostate cancer. I'm on hormone therapy, keeps the cancer at bay, and I praise God I can do more than most people my age of 58. I will be 58 in a couple months. And I feel healthy. I feel good. I've been taking care of myself. He's a good God. He's a good God. And he just really pulled me closer to him over the years, the last 3 years particularly. And, but things weren't always right with my wife and me. That has been taken care of also by God. And he has healed my marriage. And it's because 2 weeks ago, Mike was teaching about Jacob and the problems that he was having with his wives. Had too many. And Mike said something that morning that I can't do everything for my wife and be everything. I can provide her with a nice home and a car. And this is how I tried to take care of my family and my wife, is just be a great provider. You know, do whatever I can to meet their needs, but I wasn't doing it spiritually. I wasn't doing it as a loving husband. Mike said that I can't fill the hole in her heart. Only Jesus can do that. And I can't fill the hole in my heart. Only Jesus can do that. And only through Jesus can I be the husband that my wife needs to have. So, you know, it's just, he's amazing, truly amazing. He's transformed me, even through all the nonsense, after being saved. Still carried around baggage, and he's always been faithful to take care of me and my family. And he's a truly patient God. Thank goodness for that. He's a patient God. So, I don't know what everybody's situation is and what they've been through in their life. But if you've been through the things that I've been through and done the things that I've done, it's hard to put that behind you and know that you've been forgiven of those things. And Satan's always using that stuff to throw it in your face and trying to remind you what a sinner you are, not worthy of God's love. And you know what? We are worthy of God's love. But Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, and this is what I've tried to do in my life, especially lately, is transform myself to be more like Jesus in everything that I do, and to be the spiritual head. And Paul spoke of two things in Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the transforming. So how do we do that? Paul knew. And Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which I have down my heart, which surpasses all understanding, and I do not understand it, but by golly, He's such a good God. It's guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, our brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know what? Whatever you do through your day, meditate on these things. Listen to Christian music. Listen to God's voice as you read His Word. Fill your life with things that I just listed here that are in the Bible. That will help you not to remember those things that you were forgiven of. And the more you concentrate on God's Word through prayer and reading His Word and just worshiping and all these things here, those things in your past are forgotten. And they won't come and haunt you anymore. The devil will flee from you because of the power that you have in Jesus. And what more can anybody say but our God is a good God? And I just thank you that giving me the opportunity, Mike, to give my testimony. And praise God. Thank you.